All right. How's everybody doing tonight?
Great.
That was fun playing out there. I am an incredible nine square person. All right. I like to write on the board. I wrote on the board last time. So here's my opening question for the day. Are you ready? It's at the top of your note sheet. What makes a good friend or friend group? I don't know if that's what you call it, a friend group of friends. What makes a good friend or group of friends? Elizabeth. Trust.
Appropriate.
Who said that? That's great. Appropriate fun. I like that. I love this thing too. So nice. Okay. Last one, Caleb. Someone what? Somebody that you can
bite.
I thought you said somebody you can bite and still be friends with. Someone you can bite and
so healthy confrontation.
Nice fighter.
Nice fighter.
Okay. All right. Well, if you haven't opened your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians 3. What we're going to talk about today is authentic community. And a lot of the things that you guys said here, we will probably touch on some of those. I'm specifically going to hit on the ones that are in 1 Thessalonians 3. Uh-oh, this thing broke off here. That's okay.
Sorry.
That's all right. All right, well, why don't I pray, and we will dig in. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thanks for this time that we have to study your word. Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I pray that as we read your word, that it would encourage us, convict us, and comfort us. In your name we pray, amen. All right, so review. Week one, I think we've just done 3 weeks so far, is our lives should shout the gospel. That was the central truth of week one. Our lives should shout the gospel. Can anybody tell me what the gospel is? What is the gospel? Three things. First one starts with a P.
Problem.
What's the problem? Sin. We're all sinners, right? In need of a savior. What is the next one? Problem. Solution. And what's the solution? Jesus died on a cross, rose again for our sin, right? And what's the last one? Response. So we have to respond to the gospel. It's not enough just to know that he died on the cross and rose again for our sin. We have to respond in repentance and faith, okay? Please, you guys, don't forget that. That is so important. I know AJ and I have reviewed that a lot. Just be sure that you understand the gospel. If you don't understand the gospel, then it's hard to know how to live an authentic Christian life and understand authentic community. So our lives should shout the gospel. So in other words, our lives should be a reflection of what it is that we believe about Jesus. That was what we learned in week one. That was 1 Thessalonians 1. Week two is we shout the gospel by walking in a manner worthy of God. So a response to the gospel is that we're walking in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. And then week three was last week when God's word works in us, God works through us, okay? So today the central truth is authentic Christian community is God's gift to us, all right? So what is authentic Christian community? Does anybody want to take a stab at what is Christian, authentic Christian community? Other than the sentence that I wrote right below it. Very good. Very good, Carter. So that would be actually an excellent thing to put in the blank, but this is what I put, the body of Christ in action. The body of Christ in action. I want you guys to turn to Ephesians 1:22. Ephesians 1:22. All right, so Ephesians 1:22 says, and he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So Jesus, everything was put under Jesus' feet. He is King and Lord, and everything was put under him, and his church, the body, was created from who he is. He's our King, and the body of Christ is a group of believers in him. So then Ephesians 4:15 carries on with that a little bit. It says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up, this is the body of Christ, in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So my sentence that I put there is it's a group of people saved by Christ who carry out his mission to save a lost world in love, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And why is that important to know, empowered by the Holy Spirit? When we become believers, what do we know about us? Who comes into our lives? The Holy Spirit, right? And he empowers us to live in Christian community, okay? So if you remove the Holy Spirit from the equation, then it's not real community. It's not real genuine friendship. So all of these things that you guys said are really great things. But without the help of the Holy Spirit, they're all for naught, okay? That community, our goal is for people to know the Lord and to glorify the Lord, all right? So as we get into 1 Thessalonians 3 here, I want you guys to keep that in mind. What is the body of Christ? The body of Christ is believers who believe in Jesus and what he did, died on the cross for our sins so that we have life and we have authentic community because of what he has done, and the Holy Spirit empowers us to do good works. We don't do good works because we're supposed to. We do good works as a reflection of what Christ has done. Okay? So 1 Thessalonians 3, go ahead and turn there. So question number two. So question number one was, what is authentic Christian community? It is the body of Christ in action. Question number two is, how do we live in authentic Christian community? So I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 and 5 here. It says, therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone. And then if you jump to verse 5, for this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. So in authentic Christian community, we have genuine concern for others' faith. That's what you want to fill in the blank there. So why did Paul have genuine concern for their faith? Does anybody remember what was going on in Thessalonica? Does anybody remember? So if you back up just a little bit in verse 17, you can see what happened was Paul was torn away from the Thessalonians after he preached the gospel to them. In person, not in heart, he endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see them face to face because he wanted to come to them. Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered them, or hindered us. So us would be him and Timothy and Silvanus. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. So we have genuine concern for others' faith in authentic Christianity. So I have a question for you guys. Have you ever missed somebody or longed for somebody? Yes. And does anybody want to share who you have, when you've missed somebody, why is it that you miss them? Elizabeth? Okay. So your mom was a constant in your life and she wasn't there. So there's a relationship that is built between you and your mom. That's a great thing, Rebecca. You did okay. So there's a relationship that's been built with somebody, right? So you miss them. You long for them, right? So if you are in genuine Christian community, a genuine friendship, I'm hoping that you miss them if they're away, right? You'll miss them. Or maybe there's something in their life where you're concerned about something in their life, right? So maybe there's something in their faith that concerns you. If you've really gotten to know them well, you're concerned for their well-being, right? Wouldn't you guys all agree? Right. So we have genuine concern for other people's faith. So has anyone shown this concern for you before? You don't have to answer this necessarily. So not only do we want to show concern for other people, but has somebody shown that kind of concern for you before? And the reason I ask that question is, if you're not quite sure, how much have you opened your life up to somebody so that they really know who you are and what you're about? Because, you guys, if you're not really sharing your life with somebody, then it's really hard to have somebody that may be able to encourage you and build you up, or that would be able to be concerned for you when you're away or really miss you. Back when I was in college, I really fell in love with my wife in college. And she was away for the summer, and I really missed her. I remember, this was before cell phones. Sorry, guys, I'm a little bit older than you. And I couldn't text her. I could only call her on a payphone. I know. Does anybody know what a payphone is? And I had to call her collect too. Do you ever know? Have you ever heard of that? So I really missed her because I had gotten to know her so well. I had to call her on a payphone. I remember missing her so much. We ended up getting married within the next year, thankfully, because I couldn't stand being away from her. But it was somebody in my life that I had. She knew so much about me, and I knew so much about her that when I was away from her, I really wanted to see her. I couldn't wait to see her. So Paul, in this passage, he had shared his life and his faith with the Thessalonians. He had it says in chapter 2 that they had become very dear to him. So he had shared his life with them so much so that he was concerned about their faith. They were being persecuted. When Paul had left. And so when Paul had left and they were being persecuted, he was just worried that, you know, the faith that he instilled in them, that he shared with them, was it still standing? You know, was their faith still standing? He was concerned about that. And so as you guys are in community and you're building friends and with fellow believers, share your concern for them, for their faith. And also share your life with another person so that they are with your friends, so they know really what it is that you need prayer for and what they can do to speak into your life. Okay, so that's number one there. Number two, we strengthen and encourage one another in their faith during difficulties by reminding each other about God's promises. So 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 2. And 10, let's see, does anybody have their Bible? Grant, you have it. Why don't you read verses 2 and then verse 10.
And we sent Timothy, our brother, and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are destined for...
Okay, just read verse 10 now.
As we pray most earnestly, night and day, that we may see you face to face, supply that is lacking.
Okay, did you guys say that you want to encourage one another? Authentic community is encouraging one another and building each other up, right? And have you guys heard of that verse? Encourage one another and build each other up. Actually, it was a song that we sang all the time in my home when my kids were little. I'm not going to sing it, I promise. You think I should, Grant? No. You know Nathan is my son. He sings up there. He didn't get that for me. So I'm not going to sing. Okay, so we encourage one another. We strengthen one another's faith, okay? We remind each other of God's promises. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I was a high schooler once, believe it or not. Can you believe that? Mara, you can't believe that. Did you think that I just bypassed the high school years? I didn't. Okay, so one of the things that I know probably that each of you struggle with in high school is that you wonder sometimes if the friends that you have are going to accept you for who you are. Again, I don't need a show of hands. I know probably every single one of you has dealt with that at different times. Do you know there's a verse in the Bible about that? Romans 8:31. I'm going to read it to you because I'm going to encourage you right now because I know everybody struggles with this. All right, it says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" That's a great verse, isn't it? If God is for us, who can be against us? So I know there's times when you feel like your friends aren't accepting you, or not. Maybe it's somebody that you want to be your friend and you're worried that they're going to accept you. Remember that God is for you, you guys. He'll graciously give you all things. Even if that friend doesn't accept you, it's guess what? It's probably not the right friend to have, okay? Another thing that I'm probably sure that most of you struggle with is worry. I want to see a show of hands on this one. How many of you have worried before? Okay. Well, when you're in high school, I know one of the things you probably all worry about, just because I've gone through number 4 and 5 teenagers now, is your future. What are you going to do with your future? I mean, my goodness, there's so many choices. Am I going to go to college? Am I going to go to trade school? Am I going to just start working? Am I going to go to another state? Am I going to live at home still? I mean, there's all these things that can kind of just flip you out a bit, right? And so do you know that the Bible says something about that? It's pretty cool. All right, 1 Peter 5:7. Let me read that to you. Actually, I'm not going to turn to it because I should have it memorized, right, AJ? Cast all your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. Who is it that cares for you? God cares for you, you guys. No matter what you're worried about, God cares for you. In Matthew 6, there's a whole chapter about worry and that we shouldn't worry about tomorrow because tomorrow will take care of itself. Okay? So, again, authentic community strengthens, we strengthen and encourage one another. So, when you guys are in relationship with one another, if you're fellow believers, you, as you're learning about each other, as you're telling each other about your lives, encourage one another with God's word and his promises. Another one that probably most of you struggle with is your identity, that you're really worth something, right? Psalm 139 is a great passage talking about that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The Lord knit us together in our mother's womb, okay? So just know that this Bible has every promise that you could ever want for any struggle that you're going through in it. Look for God's promises. Have friends that are reminding you of God's promises. Guess what? If they're a believer in Christ, they have the Holy Spirit within them. That's actually God within them. So they have the ability to encourage you. Pretty cool, huh? I think it's pretty cool. Okay, number 3. Mutual blank for one another. Does anybody know what that is? Close. Let me read it. 1 Thessalonians 2:8. And then I'll go to chapter 3 here. 1 Thessalonians 2:8 says, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we are ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us." And then 19 through 20, "For what is our hope, our joy, or crown, or boasting before our Lord Jesus that is coming? Is it not you? for you are our glory and our joy. And then chapter 3, verse 6, which is the chapter we're in for today. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see you, long to see us as we long to see you. So mutual love for one another. Mutual love for one another. So what is love in this context? Carter? Yeah, so the love of Christ. Tell me about the love of Christ. How is the love of Christ, how would you define, well, God, that's kind of a bad question. What there's a verse in 1 John that says what love is. This is what love is. Christ laid down his life for us. That's a terrible paraphrase. So I should actually read it to you. 1 John 4:10. This is bad, AJ. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. So God sent Jesus, and he died on the cross for our sins. He was our substitute so that we can have life, right? So the love that's being talked about here is a sacrificial love, okay? So Paul, Timothy, and Silvanus had a love for the Thessalonians. They didn't just share the gospel. They shared their lives as well with the Thessalonians. But then in verse 3, or in chapter 3, the Thessalonians, the report from Timothy was they're doing really well in their faith, and they long to see Paul. So they couldn't wait to see Paul, so they love Paul as well. So his labor was not in vain. That's pretty great news. So you guys, when you are in friendship with one another, love one another sacrificially. That is so important. If you guys, I would imagine the majority of you are going to get married one day. Sacrificial love is really what marriage is all about. Giving your life up for your spouse. Like Christ gave his love up for us. Or like Christ gave up his life for us. All right, number 4. Authentic community brings life, joy, and thanksgiving because it points us to Christ, who he is, and what he has done for us. So 1 Thessalonians 3:8 says, "For now we live if we are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God?" So here's something really great about authentic Christian community. So Paul loved the Thessalonians, right? He had shared not only his life, but the faith he had in Christ with them. He had a report back from Timothy that says they're still walking in faith. Even though they were going through trials and temptations, they still were walking in their faith. If you shared your life and your faith with someone, and they were away from you, you hadn't seen them, and you wondered how their faith was, and somebody reported to you that they were alive and strong and they still were fighting for the Lord and living for the Lord, would that not bring life to you? It would bring life to me. It tells me that Jesus is real, you guys. If somebody that I shared my faith with is growing in their faith with Christ, it tells me that Jesus is real. And so as you share your life, as you share your gospel with those, your friends around you, realize that it'll bring life and joy to you when you know that that person is following the Lord. And we've been reading in John, "I am the resurrection and the life," is what Jesus says when he rose Lazarus from the dead. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who comes to me shall never die," right? He says, "I am," let's like present right now, "I am the resurrection and the life." So there is life right now that we have through Christ. So that's a pretty cool thing too, right? That as you're in community with one another and have authentic friendships, that it is an evidence that God is real. And I know you guys at your age too, that sometimes is something you're wrestling with. Is God really real? You know, is he who he says he is? And just realize when you're in relationship with one another in true, authentic Christian community, your faith, as you guys grow strong together in your faith, it's an evidence that Christ is at work. All right, number five. Authentic Christian community is covered in God-centered, mission-focused prayer. So 1 Thessalonians 3:10 through 12. This is really sums it all up of what Christian community is all about as you pray for one another. As we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face. Remember, Paul was away from the Thessalonians and supply what is lacking in your faith. And he goes on and prays more. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all of his saints. So you guys, as you pray for one another, realize you are going to the throne room of God, and he will supply what is lacking in your faith. He's the one that's going to, you'll remain steadfast to the end with. He's the one that's going to present you holy and blameless before him. So remind each other of that. Remind each other. It's a tough life that we're living in, you guys. And I know as you get older, it doesn't get easier. Probably your parents have told you that. And I know there's tough times even in high school right now. But as you get older, man, it's a comfort to know that the Lord is going to keep us holy and blameless to the end. And so pray with one another. Remind each other of that truth. Remind each other that God is the one that's in control. All right, so those are the five ways that in this chapter it was highlighted how to live in Christian community. So how should you guys respond to this chapter? This I really want you to wrestle with and talk about in your small group time. Number one is decide if you want this kind of community. I know that not all of you are believers here. You don't all know Christ, and that's okay. This is a place where we really want you to investigate the claims of Christ. Our prayer and our hope is that you would want to live for Christ, that you would want him to control your life because he's worth it. If you haven't fallen Christ, or if you have not decided to follow Christ, it's hard to have this kind of community that we just talked about. If you guys do know Christ, man, I hope that you really want and you desire a friendship where you have this kind of community, because it's hard to live this life, number one. Number two, it's hard to find friends that really you can have this kind of community with. So decide if you want this kind of community. I know you guys don't know me as well, but you know your small group leaders. You know AJ really well. If you feel like you don't have a relationship like this that you really would like to have, please tell them. They'll try to find somebody that you can have this sort of relationship with. Number two, search for fellow believers and ask God to give you friends that are believers. So pray, you guys, pray. Pray that the Lord will provide authentic Christian fellowship for you. Here's the deal. If you pray that prayer, he's going to answer that prayer because his word says that he will. So don't think that, I don't know if God will really provide a friend for me that I really want. He will. He will provide that. He's created the body of Christ for our good and for his glory. So he will provide a friend for you. So don't think that's the enemy telling you that you potentially won't have a friend that could have this kind of relationship with you. Number three, when you do have friendships, talk about things that really matter in your life, in your friendships. I love sports. You guys that know me know that I love sports. As I've gotten older, I like talking about, I was way up here wanting to talk about sports all the time. For those of you that know me, I talk about sports less and less. I want to talk about the Lord more and more now. That's what matters to me. And so as you're in relationship with one another, Talk about things that really matter. Talk about your relationship with the Lord, things you're wrestling with. It's not an easy, again, not an easy life to live, but with Christ, we have life. So share what's going on with one another. Pray for one another. Fourth thing, encourage one another in the faith. Pray for one another. I just said that. Confess and fight sin together. We're not meant to fight this life alone. Fight sin together. Read the Bible together. Love one another like Christ loved us, giving his life for us. So really, guys, as I have been studying this all week, my prayer for all of you is that each of you would have friendships like this. I know each of my kids at different times have wrestled with having true, authentic friendships. Woo, it's loud. And it is, every single one of them would tell me, now they'll tell me in their quiet moments where it's just me, they really want a friend. You know, they want a friend that they can share life with and be open and honest with and talk about the things that we just talked about here from 1 Thessalonians 3. So that's my prayer for you guys. I'm going to pray, and then I think you have a little bit of time for small groups. All right, let me pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for 1 Thessalonians 3, which reminds us what it means to live in Christian community and what you have given to us as a gift is the body of Christ for us, for our good, and for your glory. And so I pray, Lord, for each person that's sitting here today that they would have at least one relationship where they are authentic with that person, where they're praying for one another, encouraging one another, building each other up, reading scripture together, sharing the difficult parts of life, because Lord, in this life, there are troubles, but Lord, we have life everlasting with you, and I pray that that would give us great joy. Thanks for this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.